Check out the Full Press Hockey Podcast with Jim Behringer, the best in the business. It's going to be great.
Welcome to this Full Press Hockey Daily here on the Full Press Radio Network. I'm your host, Jim Behringer, the voice of Full Press Hockey. A lot of things to get to after a successful All-Star weekend. Games back in the books. Teams back on the ice. The second half of the season is here as the March to the March 8th NHL trade deadline is on. You see what I did there? It's always a pleasure to be here with you along for the ride. A lot of news and notes from last week. Let's dive into everything. Let's start off with the big trades. Elias Lindholm going from the Calgary Flames to the Vancouver Canucks. It's a big package. It includes a first-round pick, Andre Kuzmenko, and two prospects. Both teams, it's a hockey trade. So sometimes these trades take time to find out winners and losers, right? We look to see the elements. We see who's going to be successful, who isn't. The Vancouver Canucks are on a ride right now. They're the best team in hockey. They're playing like the best team in hockey. It seems like this team doesn't lose. Add Elias Lindholm to the mix, and guess what? Now you have depth down the middle. You have Pettersson, Miller. You have Lindholm. You have Besser. All these guys can play the wing. All these guys can play center. Man, what a treat. And we know Jimmy Rutherford likes to go after it early. I mean, heck, he talked about it on Overdrive before the draft. He's like, eh, maybe we'll get something done before the trade deadline. Not after, like he normally does. Look, the Vancouver Canucks, one of the best teams right now in the National Hockey League. It's a very good start. It's been a very nice surprise. I don't know if you can call it a surprise anymore. Thatcher Demko is playing really well. Again, Elias Pettersson, he needs a new contract. Brock Besser's playing well. Connor Garland's playing well. JT Miller's playing well. Quinn Hughes on the back end. The Vancouver Canucks are a team that nobody wants to mess with right now. Again, regular season success does not lead to playoff success. But adding a piece like Elias Lindholm helps you down the middle. Your spine of your team. We saw it last year with Vegas. Those centers, the depth that you have in the playoffs, it matters. And now you're getting it with Lindholm. And look, first game, he scores two goals. Who would have thought? Well, flip to the other side for the Calgary Flames. Andre Kuzmenko scores in his first game. He needed a change of scenery. He was in Rick Tocchet's doghouse. And one more note on Lindholm. Now, I know he could play center wing. He can play power play. He can play penalty kill. He can play all situations. Defensive-minded center. He's going to get the tough matchups. Knows how to lock guys down. So that's the type of player Rick Tocchet wants. Again, Kuzmenko, 39 goals the year before. Was he a 39 goal scorer? No, but he's not as bad as he's playing. He just can't, they just can't use him. So after signing a 2-year, $5.5 million AAV around All-Star break last year, he gets traded. He didn't want to be there. He wasn't being utilized. He goes to Calgary, gets new life. Jonathan Huberdeau is finding new life as well with the Calgary Flames. Flames are a team to watch because, as we've discussed, and as you've seen, they've got Chris Tanev, they've got Noah Hanifin, they've got Jacob Markstrom. Markstrom can determine where he wants to go. He's got the full no trade, no move clause. Tanev, he's been linked to Toronto. But again, it's going to probably cost at least a second rounder. Do the Devils want Tanev? Do they want somebody else? Who are they looking for? They've been linked to Noah Hanifin for a while. So look, it's interesting to see what the Calgary Flames do. Big win for them. Big win for New Jersey Devils. Nice, resilient team win. Determined. They play patient hockey. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Flames do. I expect the Canucks to add another piece as well. Speaking of adding pieces, the Winnipeg Jets, they trade for Sean Monahan. A big trade for them. You get a nice center. Depth down the middle. Vlad Nemeskov can go to your third line. You got Adam Lowry. You had Sean Monahan having a good season in Montreal. He's healthy. He's not hurt because last year his value was high. But the Montreal Canadiens couldn't trade him because he was hurt all the time. Fast forward a year, they're getting a first-round pick for him. Now they got two first-round picks, right? One when the Calgary Flames dealt them to Montreal, and now they get another second-round pick. For another first round pick, their second, excuse me. So two first round picks for the price of one for one player is Sean Monahan. What a deal that was. Huge for the Montreal Canadiens. Again, adding draft capital. That's what Kent Hughes wants. That's what Jeff Gordon wants. It wasn't going to the Rangers. Talked with Jim Cerny on the Full Press NHL podcast that came out, I want to say about a week ago, around this time, talked about it. It's not supposed to play a factor, but the way things ended between Chris Drury, Jeff Gordon, New York Rangers, that wasn't going to happen. So what does that mean? Well, it means this. The price for centers goes up. Adam Henrique, step up. Scott Laughton, probably not going to get traded. But guess what? You might get traded. Depends if the right price comes. It depends if, you know, who they're looking at, who they want, what type of deal the Flyers want, because the Flyers really don't want to get rid of him. We know the Flyers are going to get rid of Sean Walker, but they're waiting because Chris Tanev's a guy that's still out there. He's the guy that could set the tone for the market. So we had the two big trades. We had a coach fired and Todd McLellan. LA Kings make a coaching change, similar to the other coaching changes on the players. Players talked about it. They let a good man down. They let a good coach down. It's a wake-up call because can't fire all the players. Can fire the coach, though. And when a team like LA is up against the salary cap, more on the Full Press NHL podcast, Dennis Bernstein stopped by to talk with us about that. But they got it. That was the final bullet in the chamber, in the gun that Rob Blake could use because he didn't want to do it. He clearly didn't want to do it. Ottawa didn't want to fire DJ Smith. Speaking of DJ Smith, he joins LA as an assistant. We're going to see what Jim Hiller does. If they get in the playoffs and do well, well, maybe he stays. If he doesn't, well, they're going to go in another direction. They got to start playing better hockey, simple hockey, smart hockey. Take care in front of your own net. It'll help your goaltender out. Also, we got Olympic news, international hockey news coming out of All-Star Weekend. Big things happening. Double IHF, IOC, NHL, NHLPA all agree. New deal in place. The NHLers are going back to the Olympics starting in 2026. Now, as I wrote on Full Press Hockey, Connor McDavid says it's a dream come true. As I've been told by multiple sources, this was always the game plan. They were never going to Asia. That was never on the books. Regardless of what you think the excuse was, COVID, whatever, they weren't going. Even if it was no pandemic in the world, they weren't going to China. They weren't going to Pyeongchang. It wasn't happening. The last Olympic contest we've seen, 2014, Sochi, Canada. back-to-back in 2010-2014. So the NHLers have been there, 98, 2002, 2006, all been exciting. Best on best, Connor McDavid's going to be, for the first time, putting on a Maple Leaf, his international jersey, for the first time in 9 years, in playing in the National Hockey League. He played in World Juniors. He did all that, but he never played best on best. Now we're going to get it. We're going to get it in 2030 as well. We also get the Four Nations face-off. A lot of guys are excited for that. A guy like Cale Makar is. He's excited for that thing. Canada, U.S., Sweden, Finland, the most populated teams based on their country, you know, that's in the league. Those are the top four nations producing players. What about a team like Czechia, Slovakia, Germany, guys like that? You know, guys are upset. They don't want to, they should be playing in this thing. But it's a prelude to when the World Cup comes back in 2028. And guess what? It's going to happen. And then the international calendar gets fixed every 2 years. Non-Olympic years, you have a World Cup of hockey, which is exactly what the players wanted from the start. They want to have best on best. Nobody wanted 2016. As much as we love Team Fun and Team North America, Team Europe was not fun. But as much as we love Team North America, we don't need it. We want best on best international hockey. And the big key is going to be 2026. Do we see Russia in there? We know David Pasternak's feelings about the Four Nations face-off. He didn't even, we're going to watch it because he wasn't invited to play. Nikita Kucherov even said, it's not a best-on-best tournament without Russia. He's 100% right. We say it all the time with the World Juniors when Russia isn't there. It's a great tournament, but it's not truly best-on-best when one of the best hockey nations in the world isn't there. So, we got the Olympics. We got the double IHF. We got the Four Nations face-off. And the big thing here is we cleared a lot of hurdles with the Olympics. Remember, it used to be about the dollars, the media rights, who's paying for everything. The IOC, the IIHF, the other federations will step up and figure out ways to pay for the insurance for the players, the travel for the players and their families, the housing, all that stuff. In addition, they've been working on this media rights deal where the NHL will have logos there. They'll know, you know who you are. They'll have their stuff on their website. It's a lot better for the NHL this time around. That was always going to be the case. If it benefited the National Hockey League and the NHLPA and they got a bump from it, they were going to do it. If it was the same old deal, they weren't going to do it. It doesn't benefit the owners and the NHL to shut down for 2 weeks because there's never any carryover into the regular season. As much as we love TJ Soshi and as much as we love Canada US 2010, which was great, and Canada US 2002. Outside of that, it hasn't carried over because it's never on the website. We don't know anything. Now, Gary Bettman got the negotiations back at the table when he made that comment about the Milan Arena. So they get a deal done. They really weren't going to announce it, but they worked hard through the night. They got it done. I mean, All-Star Weekend was a great success. Mix the entertainment world with the hockey world in Toronto, the hub of hockey, the celebrities, Will Arnett, Justin Bieber, Tate McRae, Michael Bublé. The players loved it. Money was on the line. It was competitive. You had a skill. You had a shootout, which AKA is the skills competition, decide some games. That's where it belongs. Players had fun. Everybody's talking about Tate McRae's, you know, performance. If they can do that again and replicate that in 2026 as a send-off for the players to go to the Olympics, even better. Some players want to participate. You know, we know how it is. Keep it simple. Go back to East-West. It's always fun that way. But again, home run, knocked it out of the park for the NHL All-Star Game. A lot of big news. Now we got Stadium Series coming up a couple weeks. I'll be there in attendance, live representing Full Press Hockey, Devils, Flyers, Islanders, Rangers. Should be a great time. But this has been the Full Press Hockey Daily here on the Full Press Radio Network. I've been your host, Jim Berenger. Get it, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Take care.
Barry Trotz, Nashville Predators, making sure you're listening to Full Press Hockey Podcast.